This podcast replay is brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. For truck, motorcycle, and rideshare accidents, call Bobby Nunez, 305-444-4407. AccidentLawFirm.com.
Promised you that, of course, my man Chris Perkins from The Athletic would be kind enough to join us now on the program to talk a little about that loss yesterday as the Dolphins lost to the Washington Redskins 17-16. Make sure you follow him on Twitter like I and so many others do at Chris Perk and catch his exceptional work at your doorstep, of course, at The Athletic, or actually online at The Athletic MIA, not at your doorstep, but you can get at your doorstep of your email if you want. You'll get some updates there if you want. Perk, how you doing, my man, on a beautiful Monday?
Big O, I am doing well, man. We got some stuff to talk about with the Dolphins, right? It's not just a boring loss where they didn't even contend in the second half. We have some encouraging stuff to talk about coaching-wise. Maybe not so much among the players that you want to see, right? You want to see the younger guys come through. And I guess Devontae did, but, you know, the Fitzpatrick thing – I'm not too excited about that, but we can get into all that.
The Fitzpatrick thing, I think, was a learning. It was a lesson for Rosen. Hey, dude, adjust. The pressure's coming. Make quick decisions. Maybe sitting back on the sidelines, he saw the way Fitz reacted to it and said, okay, I got to adjust my game. I got to read faster, make quicker decisions, because he was late on throws. Those interceptions were on him because, look, the first one with Preston mm-hmm. could have done a better job of fighting for a ball in the deflection. I could also say that Isaiah Ford could have come back a little bit, but the fact that he had to wait for the football, that thing had to be delivered before he turned around. So as he's turning around, that ball is right on top of him before the defender. All those little things, Rosen was off yesterday, and that was a good coaching move on behalf of Flores to make that change, and a good lesson, hopefully, that the young man will learn. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I want to see more from Josh Rosen at this point, Big O. Yesterday was his 16th start, so you know you could say that's a full season, 3-10 in Arizona, 0-3 with the Dolphins as far as starts. And it's time for Josh to start making those kinds of things, throwing guys open and not making those mistakes and being the one who can spark the team. We'll see what he does here the rest of the way, these final 11 games. You could say his second season, right, because he just made his 16th start. But I would have liked to have seen more from the young players. Dieter kind of had a rough start to the game. He picked it up later. Like I said, Devontae, I don't know if he's, I don't know how young he is or how much he's part of the future. The running backs were a little bit disappointing. Charles Harris, he got his playing time reduced. I want to see more out of these young guys, Big O. And I know it's still just 5 games into the season. I know a lot of these guys are not NFL players, but it's about time to start seeing some hints of a player development from the young guys.
No, I'm with you, Perk, on all of that, but we are seeing it because think about it this way. This is the way I've been telling people, because it's a super young team as it is, the youngest team in the mm-hmm. NFL, least experience, all that good stuff. First 2 games, neither side of the ball showed up. Third game, defense showed up into the third quarter against Dallas. Fourth game, the entire team showed up for a half. This game, the entire team showed up for an entire game. There has been progress overall as a football team. We have watched a football team get better every single week. We cannot let that slide. We have to give Brian Flores a little love that he's working with less than everybody else in the NFL, and he's at least maximizing what he has at this point. I got to give him a little love for that.
No, I give Flo some love. Look, and not only, and here's what I wrote today. Part of it is that those who thought that Flores and the coaches were complicit in the tank job, well, he made the coaching change. He went for it on fourth down in the punt formation. They do the direct snap to Ballage. They have the onside kick. The play call on the 2-point conversion I didn't think was a bad call. Maybe you throw it into the end zone to Gesicki or Preston Williams or Devontae, but these guys have got to execute their blocks, right? Jamarcus Webb didn't come close to executing his block. So, yeah, that was shameful, wasn't it, Big O?
It was
so, you know, I don't have a problem with the play call. I thought we saw some progression in the coaching staff. And also thought one other thing that, you know, look, when healthy, I still got this team winning definitely one game, maybe two. When healthy, they can compete with teams that are the lower-tier teams, Washington, Cincinnati, the Jets. They were only missing Xavier yesterday. I guess they were missing Jakeem Grant also for punt return purposes mostly. But, you know, when healthy, I think they could. I started off saying they were going to go 3-13 after the first games. I lowered it to 2-14. But I think I'm going to hold steady at 2-14 for a while, I think.
Okay. I think Cincinnati's their only hope, really, in week 16, actually. The second to last week of the season. I think I saw the Jets yesterday, and now that they got their quarterback back, that defense is jacked. Miami's going to have a lot of problems against them, I think, overall. But Cincinnati is definitely – Washington and Cincinnati were the two teams that I think they have a legitimate shot at surprising them, and that's the screwed-up part, that week 16 we might be talking about the battle for the number one overall pick, because really – we're down to the two teams that are probably looking at an either over or maybe a one-win or maybe two-win season, no more than that. Hell, Arizona's already got two wins and a tie. They have pulled completely away from Miami. If this was horse racing, they're up by 20 lengths now at this point, because there is no way Miami gets there, right?
I agree. I think that second win is probably going to be your death blow for the number one pick, Big O. I do think everybody's going to win one game this season, but you get that second victory, and now you're really in jeopardy of not getting that number one pick, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm with you all the way. Chris Perkins, of course, from The Athletic, joining us. And, Perk, you hit on it. I hated the decision that he did. I would have gone for the kick instead and get more plays in, more experience for everybody. But the caveat is, if you're going to go for it, brother, Devontae made plays for you. Preston made plays for you. Throw the ball into the end zone. Fitz is on a roll. The only reason you're in this game, it's because of Fitz, his decision-making, and his arm, not because of your offensive line and your running game and any kind of screen or anything like that. Come on, man. You got to do it the right way. And that's where – and I think that's what you mentioned, that you like the call, but maybe you like going for it, but you would have liked to have seen maybe a different call. That's my caveat to all of this. I either go for the extra point, but if I'm not going for the extra point, I'm living and dying with Fitz at the moment, not with what they tried there with that little screen or whatever the hell you want to call it.
You know, Daniel Kilgore went out on the touchdown reception to Devontae Parker. He limped off the field eventually. But, you know, they had Evan Bame in there from right guard to center, and then they brought in Shaq Calhoun. And I asked Flores after the game, did that influence the play call? I think he thought that I was asking, did that influence the result of the play? And he was saying, no, it had nothing to do with center guard exchange or those guys being in there. We've got to make that play. But I wonder if they thought, well, we're definitely not going to go behind Calhoun and Bame here, even though Bame, I guess, played a reasonably good game. They went to the left, and maybe he said that they had designed that play, that was one of their top two-point conversion plays. You know, every team has a list of two-point conversion plays. Mm-hmm. It was interesting that Kenyon Drake said after the game he hadn't practiced it all week, that he said somebody else had taken those reps. We think it was Mark Walton. But, yeah, I do wonder if going to the right side of the field, like the I believe Preston Williams was wide right. I wonder if the, you know, Shaq Calhoun and Bane combination did influence the play call. But again, you've got to give it a chance. I think if you're relying on one guy to make somebody miss and get into the end zone, you did go to the right guy, right? I favor him over Albert Wilson or, you know, Devontae or anything else. You throw it up high for Preston, Devontae, or Gesicki. If you're going to Kenyon, I think that's a good call. You hope that he can make one man miss and go, you know, what, 3 or 4 yards and get into the end zone. So Again, he could have thrown it into the end zone, but I'm not really mad at him for the play call.
No, well, okay, I got you. I wish he would have, you know, give it to Fitz and let him throw it into the end zone. Right. And now, listen, the thing about all of this, I kind of explained it on my post game podcast yesterday. We got to understand that we are watching, you know, a young Preston Williams trying to figure things out. Dude, you got to run out of bounds, not try to get the first down. Isaiah Ford, you got to come to the football, help your quarterback out. Preston Williams, you got to fight for the football or a deflection on that play. The coach, should I have put it in Fitz's hands, or that play was the right play? Maybe he didn't even like that play himself, but he gave O'Shea, you know, control, and he's calling the offense. That's the whole thing about all of this. When you look all over the place, it's really a whole bunch of young people or young coaches learning how to win, learning how to play together, learning how to figure all this stuff out. That's the thing. When you look up and down this roster, it doesn't matter where you go. There's a lot of inexperience, and because of that, we're going to see our share of mistakes.
Yeah, and you know what, Big O? I don't mind really seeing the inexperience. You know my view on the teardown, that I was all for it until it went to Tunsil and Minka, and we're not going to debate that. I know why each was done, and you know, I understand. But you just want to see them be able to retain some of the talent from this season. And aside from the obvious, right, you know, Dieter and Christian Wilkins, the draftees, but, you know, you would like to see them be able to develop a Johnson Batamosi, even if it's just for special teams, or Stephen Parker, Ken Webster. And those are the guys, to me, as much as the drafted players, the season is about finding some of those guys also. Look, we see, and I mentioned this quite a bit, the reclamation project, Big O. I'm all for this. When you take Josh Rosen, a former first-round pick, Taco Charlton, former first-round pick, Robert Kendiche, former first-round pick, Mark Walton, who had run into some legal problems. I would like to see one of those guys emerge, and they're giving Taco a chance. They're giving Josh a chance.
Walton, too.
Walton a chance.
Walton,
There's all kinds of levels, player development that I'm looking for this season.
Yeah, and Walton's one of those guys that, hey, the other guys haven't been showing up. Now that, because 2 weeks ago I was saying I want to see more Walton, and now we're starting to see more Walton because he's been prepared. Every time they call his number, the kid is ready, helps you on offense, helps you on special teams. And if the other guys are going to be, you know, a little bit off, then you got to go to Walton. And that's one of the things that I do like about what we've been watching. And look, a guy that we thought was going to go downhill was the linebacker. What's it called?
Raekwon.
And Raekwon, his first year he had the knee injury, so he gets the break. Last year he looked kind of lost. Right now he looks like he's, you know, playing really well. He's understanding the defense and what he has to do. You know, there's a young guy that's improving under them. They've got if you start looking around, some of their young guys are improving, actually. I mean, hell, like I just told you at the beginning of the thing, there's no way we get to this point from yesterday without improvement. The entire team has improved.
Yeah, and again, I look at this from all levels, because you do have the veteran level of guys like Xavier and Bobby McCain, and like I said, the draft pick level of Wilkins and Dieter. You've got the reclamation project level of Taco Charlton and Josh Rosen and Mark Walton. You've got your undrafted free agent level, so at all levels, Big O, I'm looking for player development and reasonable player development, right? I'm not expecting them to turn Stephen Parker into a Pro Bowl player,
right?
But that's player development at all levels, and we'll see. First quarter of the season was rough, but starting yesterday, this is the second quarter, right? We could be seeing some significant development. We'll have to wait and see through these next three games and where we are at the midpoint, but look, it's better than the alternative, right? It's better than continually getting blown out by 25. This was a team that again, of equal or lesser quality, so you expected them to do something like that, and it's better than the alternative. I'll say that.
I'm with you. And listen, look at that Washington defense. They got some talent on that defense. They got way more talent on that team than Miami does. So I give them props for hanging in there. Now, Perk, have you tripped out with the conspiracy theories and all the other craziness that comes up, like, I don't know, like Barry Jackson wanting the owner to come down and say, hey, bench all these guys so we can continue tanking even worse than we are right now. I mean, just the crazy stuff that's going on. Like, immediately when X was inactive, it's almost like this is the plan. He's really healthy enough to play, but they're holding him out so they can suck a little bit more. I mean, this is the part that really becomes, you know, Oliver Stone-ish.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, Big O. I am going to be interested to see what the inactive list looks like as the season wears on and how many of these veterans end up playing 16 games. Look, the way that they could do this, you remember the Heat in the 07-08 season, the miserable season. I remember Udonis Haslem had ankle problems, and I might have told you this before. And he was out for like a month. He comes back after the All-Star break. The ankle still isn't quite right. They know he's going to need surgery after the season, so they pull him like 6 weeks before the season is done. And you know, I remember Udonis talking to us with tears in his eyes because he knew he could finish the season, but they didn't want to risk it. Udonis was too good. They might win some games.
Right.
And so that's the kind of stuff that I'll be looking for. You hold X out when he was 90% healthy. I don't think those kinds of things that are going to happen. But yeah, the guys who are 50-50, I'll be interested to see how they treat that. The guys who are going to need surgery in February, I'll be interested if they make them have surgery in December. I am going to be looking for that type of stuff.
All right, let me make a guess on what's going to happen there. If you're actually a veteran, which there, I don't know how many are left on this team, but if you're old and you're on a one-year deal or whatever, it's expiring, they'll play your ass. If you actually have a future and you're part of their foundation, i.e. X, they are going to take care of you and coddle you and protect you like they should. I think that's how it's going to be. Just like when people think that next year, with all that money they have in free agency, that they're going to go crazy in free agency. No, they're not. They're going to sign veteran free agents that maybe on one-year deals, older guys. They're not going to be giving those guys long-term contracts. Now, if they find a young veteran, a 26, 27-year-old that got released from a team or got freed by one way or another and has a future, a real future, a stud, then, yeah, that's the guy they give a long-term contract. But that's the reality of it. I think they'll play the guys that have no future. But if you do have a future, they will weigh what the real options should be, like an X. What do you think?
Yeah. I'll be interested to see, because that's kind of what they've done with Jakeem Grant so far. Albert Wilson, I don't know. Albert kept telling us that he was healthy and that he was ready to play, and we just saw him come back this week. So, you know, there's some guys that I'll be keeping an eye on and listening to what they say. Now, and keeping in mind, the player is always going to say he can play, right? I mean, pretty much he's always going to say that. But I'll be keeping an eye on that. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how they approach this thing, because I don't think that that Steve Ross wants to win as many games as possible. I do think that Brian Flores wants to win as many games as possible, and I know that the players want to win as many games as possible.
Yeah, no, I'm with you all the way. I mean, anybody that thinks the front office is giving up, then they wouldn't have given them Ryan Fitzpatrick, because Ryan Fitzpatrick has been known to actually win a couple games in this league. So if you're not trying to win games, you wouldn't give them Ryan Fitzpatrick. You'd give them Luke Falk backing up, you know, Josh Rosen. So that way you really have no shot at winning. But with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're actually trying to at least win or something along those lines. And yesterday, it almost happened, man. Here comes Fitz, and he comes into it. Now, let me ask you something. How do you – what? Because I know you wrote an article about Josh Rosen on how, how the perception has not been the reality. So – The question is, how does he handle all of this? How does I loved in the press conference yesterday where he said, hey, man, I understood the decision. The coach is here to win games. And I basically he kind of said, I wasn't helping him win that game yesterday. I like that.
I think Josh is a very mature kid, man. And I wrote in that same column that I'm actually rooting for the guy. I'm hoping that somebody gives him a chance. I think from his standpoint, no matter what he said outwardly, it was probably another this league sucks type moment for him, right? Because I don't know that anybody is really giving this kid a chance. Yeah, he threw the two interceptions, but I was surprised that they brought Fitz in. Because to me, after Flo says that the quarterback thing is settled, I'm a fan of let the guy dig his way out of it, because this is adversity and really part of the big goal of this season is seeing what you have in Josh Rosen. Maybe you already know. And you know me, I don't think that Flo really likes Josh Rosen. I think he always needles him. We've talked about that. I don't think he's a fan. I think that Flo thinks I've just been kind of stuck with this kid who, you know, I have a better chance of winning with Fitz, but I'm hoping that Rosen goes back to being the starter this week. But I probably would have kept Josh Rosen in that game yesterday, quite honestly, Pico, and maybe you wouldn't have gotten the two fourth quarter touchdowns. They did go to an up-tempo offense when Fitz came in, and that helped. Maybe you wouldn't have, but a big part of this season is seeing what you've got in Rosen, and you've got to give the kid a chance even in tough times.
Chris Perkins, of course, from The Athletic, joining us, talking a little Dolphins. He's unfortunate. We can't call him a bust. He's kind of headed down that road of Bustville.
Yep.
But I will say this. Yesterday he made the biggest catch of his career, the nicest catch of his career, and that's Mike Gesicki. And he's not one of those young guys that we can say, oh, he's making big-time improvements here. We can't say that. But I will tell you this. I'll give him credit. That was a really nice catch. The ball placement by Ryan Fitzpatrick was exceptional on that play.
Yeah, that was a very nice play, and you're right. Gesicki is a guy who is just trending in the wrong direction. I really thought we were going to see more out of him this year. And I to go back to the coaches, I do have some faith in this coaching staff because, look, I like what they've done with Raekwon, right? They've got him more as almost a outside linebacker, defensive end. He's able to set the edge. He's able to make some good tackles. I think that suits him better than being inside for the majority of the time. I don't know what they can do with Gesicki. I mean, you know, he's not a good blocker. He's a receiver. He's a receiving tight end who uses athleticism and jumping ability to be able to excel. And we did see that on that reception, but we just don't see it enough. I don't know what you need to do to wake Gesicki up. There's only so many things you can do with that guy, right? You can put him in line. You can put him in the slot. But, you know, eventually he's got to win one-on-one battles, and we just haven't seen it enough. But that was a good play that he made yesterday.
Yeah, no, that was an excellent play. And the you know, Perk, the thing that's, like, really been a shocker is how he is really not a good football player. He doesn't really have a lot of savvy to his game. He's definitely not physical. And I don't really – look, I don't mind that you're not physical. If you're going to be exceptional, everything else, then I'm good. It wasn't like you knew Antonio Gates because he was a mauler at the line. You know what I'm saying? So
it's not
like Tony Gonzalez was a mauler at the line either. You know what I'm saying? So use your athleticism to your benefit like those guys did. And that's what I don't see from this kid. I don't see him excelling in any way, shape, or form. I don't see a guy that plays with incredible fire. And then at times, I got to say, he looks awkward out there. There isn't a flow to his game. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like he has to try really hard out there to look like he's making an impact.
Yeah, Big O, isn't it amazing how long this organization's been searching for a good tight end? I mean, I guess Charles Clay had the one good year, maybe two good years. I think that's the year before he went to Buffalo in free agency. But, you know, and they've tried, Dustin Keller and Jordan Cameron and Michael Agnew and They've tried veterans. They, you know, O'Leary, I thought, was going to show a little promise. They draft Durham Smythe the same year that they get Gesicki. And, man, the tight end position is just such a weapon in the NFL for, what, the last dozen years, the last 10 years?
And Randy McMichael is the last decent tight end that we had, dude.
Yeah,
Randy McMichael.
Yeah, yep. Yep.
Okay.
And what was that? 04, 05, 06, all through whenever he was, you know, he went to San Diego, right? Maybe about 08 or something like that.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
It's been a while since we had a guy in that position and we say, okay, we got a dog at that position.
Yep.
And that's the thing. That's the other word that I can't say with Gesicki. I don't see dog in that guy. And that's the scary part, because I'm wondering, what did you see in him when you were watching the film that made you think he would be a dog and he would become a player? That's one dude that really has me, you know, kind of depressed that he's never going to turn the corner. Some of the other guys I can still have some patience with. You know, some people have lost their patience with Jakeem Grant. I'm not one of them, because I think what they've done with Jakeem is they've put him out of place. He's really a number four wide receiver and your punt returner. That's what he should be. But once you start elevating him to be your number two or number three wide receiver and he's playing more and he puts more of a burden on that little body of his, that's where I think you start to lose him. He's got to be more of a complementary guy. But when you start putting him in a main position, I think that's where that might be a little too much for him.
Yeah, all of these receivers, I'm, you know, I know we haven't seen a whole lot from Albert Wilson, and they really don't even get him downfield much. He's doing a lot of screens with little to no blocking. So, you know, I don't know how fair it is, but yeah, the receivers are just unexciting. I know Allen Hurns is coming back from the concussion. He's another one on that reclamation project list, by the way. Allen Hurns,
yeah,
from that terrible injury that he had in Dallas. We'll see what Hurns does, but boy, these receivers, I'm just not that impressed, Big O. And Preston, he's an undrafted rookie, so we'll give him a chance. Devontae, you know, you can say whatever you want.
He's done.
Touchdowns,
he's
but
done.
Right, exactly. We've seen that. But yeah, I thought maybe Jakeem, maybe Albert, somebody would show us something else. We'll see what they've got in Hurns. But, yeah, I've been unimpressed. The tight end position and the receiver position have been kind of duds. And I actually thought the secondary was going to show something else from some of those guys. I thought even initially some guys such as Torrey McTyre and Jalen Davis were going to be ready to make a jump. They didn't even make the 53-man roster. But those three groups are probably, well, I guess I could probably throw running back in there too, huh?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just want to see something, some glimmer, somebody aside from your established guys of Xavier and Bobby McCain and Rashad Jones, you know, somebody take a step forward. It's early in the season, but I'm really looking for somebody at one of those three positions.
Yeah, and to me, I think Chris Greer really only brought Devontae back because if they had cut him, they weren't going to get any compensation for him.
Right.
And somebody went, so they're like, hey, why don't we bring him back for a year? We're rebuilding. If we develop him and somebody likes him by the trading deadline, we can trade him. I think they're trying to do the same thing with Albert Wilson, but unfortunately the injury has not agreed with him. And Kenyon Drake's the other guy. I don't think either one of those guys have any future whatsoever with Miami. But they, I think, would love to trade one of those for any kind of picks that they could get for those guys. That's why I think they're here more than anything else.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the Dolphins' policy, and correctly so, has been if you are one of those guys, if you have any type of value, we'll try to wring it out of you. We'll put you out there, Albert Wilson and Kenyon Drake and really, to a lesser extent, I guess Josh Rosen, and see what people think of you, and if there's a market for you, we'll move you. We'll move you, Devontae Parker, whoever it is. I don't think they're really married to a whole lot of guys on this roster, quite honestly.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, no doubt about it. Perk, what are you working on at the Athletic so folks can check you out with all your exceptional Dolphin coverage, draft coverage coming too, also.
It kind of is. It's funny that you say that, because the coverage has kind of morphed into as much a look ahead as it is reporting on what's going on now. And One thing that I am working on is teams with multiple draft picks in the first round. How have they done? How have those picks turned out? What can we hope for with the Dolphins with those multiple first round picks? So that's something that I'm taking a look at here. And look, we know that the Dolphins have a tremendous opportunity. What has history told us about other teams who have such opportunities?
I'm with you there. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Perk. And, man, I'm telling you, The Athletic is a joke. It's like $4 a month, and you get the entire country, not just all your South Florida coverage with your Dolphins and your Canes and your Marlins and your Heat and your Panthers and all that good stuff, but you get the entire country, all kinds of great columnists. So it's like $4 a month. It's a joke. And follow my man Chris Perkins on there so you can get great Dolphin coverage. Perk, as always, man, you're a stud. Thank you for taking some time, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, for you anytime, Big O, you know that, man. Thanks.
Thank you, my brother. There you go. That is Chris Perkins from The Athletic joining us here.